So far as the people of Taraban were concerned, the children would have the blame for the inevitable killings, not the king, or the army of Taraban. Once Amathera was invested with the crown and staff of the tree, a few more of the assembly might well join the rebels. But if the rest admitted they had not elected her, the news would set Tanchico afire. As for any tales that came from those who fled, why, rebels would spread any sort of treasonous lie. And the king and Panarch of Taraban would both dangle on strings Caradin could hand to Padron Nile to do with as he pleased. Not such a grand prize as it would have been when the king of Taraban controlled more than a few hundred square miles around Tanchico, yet it might be grand again. With the aid of the children, a legion or two would be needed at least, not just the 500 men Caradin had. The dragon sworn might yet be crushed, the various rebels defeated, even the war with Ar-Adhoman successfully prosecuted, if either country still realized it was fighting the other. Ar-Adhoman was in worse condition than Taraban, so Caradin had heard. In truth, he hardly cared if Taraban fell under the children's sway, or Tanchico, or any of it. There were motions to go through, things to do that he had always done, but it was difficult to think of anything except when his own throat would be cut. Perhaps he would long to have his throat cut. 2 whole months since the last report. He did not stay to drink with the Tarabanners, but made his goodbyes as shortly as he could. If they took offense, they needed him too much to show it. Salindrin saw him come down, and a stable boy was trotting his horse up to the front door when he reached the street. Tossing the boy a copper, he spurred the black gelding to a quick canter. The ragged folk in the twisty streets got out of his way, which was to the good. He was not sure he would notice if he trampled one of them. Not that it would be any loss. The city was full of beggars. He could hardly breathe without the stench of old sour sweat and dirt. Tamrin ought to sweep them up and sweep them out. Let the rebels in the country contend with them. It was the country that held his mind, but not the rebels. They could be dealt with easily enough, after word began to spread that this one or that was a dark friend. And once he managed to turn a few of them over to the hand of the light, they would stand up before everyone and confess to worshipping the Dark One, eating children, anything and everything they were told. The rebels could not last long after that. The pretenders, still in the field, would wake to find themselves alone. But the dragon sworn, the men and women who had actually declared for the dragon reborn, would not fall away for a charge of being dark friends. Most people already considered them so, swearing to follow a man who could channel. It was the man they had sworn to follow who was the problem. The man whose name they did not even know. Randall Thor. Where was he? 100 bands of dragons sworn out there, at least 2 large enough to be called armies, fighting the king's army, such of it as still held allegiance to Andric, fighting the rebels, who were busy fighting each other as often as Andric or the Dragonsworn. Yet Caradin had no clue to which band sheltered Randall Thor. He could be on Almuth Plain or in Ar-Adhoman, where the situation was the same. If he was, Jaqim Caradin was a dead man in all likelihood. At the palace on the Varana he had commandeered for the children's headquarters, he tossed his reins to one of the white-cloaked guards and stalked inside without returning their salutes. The owner of this ornate mass of pale domes and lacy spires and shaded gardens had put forward a claim to the throne of the light, and no one complained at the occupation. Least of all the owner. What was left of his head still adorned a spike above the traitor's steps on the meseta. For once Caradin barely glanced at the fine Taraban carpets, or furnishings worked with gold and ivory, or fountained courts where splashing water made a cool sound. Broad hallways with golden lamps and high ceilings covered in delicate goldwork scrolls interested him not at all. This palace could match the finest in Amadisia, if not the largest. Yet foremost in his mind right then was the strong brandy in the room he had taken for a study.